afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, February 4th, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fantastic. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You always sound chipper and happy and up and everything.
Well, there's no reason not to be.
Well, I just wonder why you're buying your weed.
Excuse me?
So I wonder why you're buying your good weed. They don't sell it down here yet. No, I'm just kidding.
Call me after the show and I'll tell you.
Okay. Oh, gracious.
Are you trying to get me arrested or something? Well, I guess it's legal now, so.
We'll probably have the SWAT team calling for a dummy. Anyway, go ahead, Melody. I'm glad you feel well. Me too. I'm really blessed. I have no complaints at all.
Well, you know, I guess maybe selling pot would be a little bit better than selling gold.
Would the gold take a hit today?
Yeah, it did. You know, and it's funny, there was that fear factor last week that really pushed it up based on the virus, the China's virus. Now, that all of a sudden, that's out of the news, and, you know, everything's okay there. And that's what we talked about on this program. We wouldn't know, you know, for a couple of weeks exactly how bad it is and so forth. And with all the measures, at least this is what they're telling us anyway, with all the measures that they've taken, you know, it seems like it might be going, you know, at least mellowing out here and so forth. But, you know, we'll wait to see. It just seems to me like building hospitals and everything for, 10,000 illnesses seems to be a little extreme. But what do I know?
And I got some information on this, too, about that from somebody who said it was, it's all kind of a hyped-up situation. But anyway, we'll get that later on.
We'll get to that right later on. But the point is why I'm trying to explain why we saw gold rise quickly, and with that out of the news, of course, with the markets recovering their 600-point loss on Friday, there's pressure on gold. So we have gold down in the New York spot price aftermarket, $2,190 at $1,555. Silver got whacked today, down 5 cents at $1,769. Platinum was down $3 at $970, and palladium was up $102 at $2,467. USDX today, I would imagine it's stronger, up 0.13, 97.95. Crude oil was down another 40 cents at 49.71. And the paper markets today are, let's see, at 404, you have the Dow up 399 points. Although we had, it was middle of the day, it was up 500 points, so it did drop, but we're at 399 at 28,799. The NASDAQ was up 194 at 94.67, and the S&P was up 48 at 32.97. And I'll give my opinion here in just a couple of minutes. The 10-year yield was up 0.08 at 160. And of course, all the, you know, all the European and Asian markets were all up very strong. So I guess there's no more worry about the virus, overreaction to everything. So they tell us, but people want to know why the Dow is rallying. And I'll tell you what, there's no coincidences, and I don't believe in coincidences. Sure, sometimes you can have two things that, you know, but when they're directly related and so forth, ladies, there is no such thing as coincidences. So we want to know why the stock market is, you know, why we've had this abrupt rally. Well, and the funny thing is, it's just not confined to the U.S. markets. You have, as I mentioned, all your global equities, they're all in the green. Even the Chinese markets that had recorded their worst day in years bounced back. But the People's Bank of China stepped in, injecting billions of yuan to prop up the stock market. China has helped its markets out in times of trouble before, and back in 2015, you can remember when they had their stock bubble burst, government lent billions to brokerage firms to encourage stock buying. the historical evidence that China is willing to help its market and economy soothe investors around the world. All governments do it. The underlying market hope is clear. Central banks will save us. Not just from the business cycle, not just from the climate change, but, you know, maybe from a global pandemic too. And that was written by Michael Emery. He's a senior Asia-Pacific strategist at Rabobank. China's the world's second largest economy, and it's considered the engine for the global economic growth. So, hey, if you got a central bank that's willing to lend a hand, hey, why not? Go do it. Save those stock markets. There's billions of dollars being pumped into these markets. And it's just amazing. And nobody flinches. No one really cares as long as they keep that stock market higher. And it just, is this new information? No, it isn't. It just is irritating information because it's not real. These stock markets are not real. It's all government money. And how long? And the big question is, Butch, how long? Oh, they can do it. Hey, they're going to do it till the cows come home. We get that. But,
You know, Melody, on the other hand, you saw what gold did with a fear factor. And it was, mm-hmm. It wasn't really even a fear factor. It was just... That was just like a little spook. What happens when it really comes hard hit? Gold will go through the roof. We're talking probably $3,000 to $5,000 an ounce when it happens, maybe more. So it's just eventually. I mean, gold was $35 in 1971. It's $15.50 right now. That is a huge increase in the last 50 years, 40 years, whatever, 49 years. Think what's going to be whenever there's a real collapse, and it's going to happen. My goodness, the difference is going to be phenomenal.
And you know what? I think to myself, you have to believe how big this global picture is and what they can do and all the agreements. You know, with the trade agreement, with the phase one trade agreement, you have, you know, you don't think that they weren't going to pump the stock market up for the president's speech tonight?
Of course.
You know, you don't think it, you know, all this is going on in Iowa? Are you serious? Are you kidding me? I mean, if you believe these, it truly is amazing. Any other time where our elections would be what has happened in Iowa, oh my gosh. But nobody cares. It's a big joke.
Yeah, we'll cover that a little bit too. That is ridiculous. That is unbelievable. It really is. We'll get that in a minute, like I said, but it's... Melody, it's almost like believing Easter Bunny. I mean, fairy tales everywhere.
I know. So it's just, I mean, there were some good reports. You know, the big report's going to be Friday, the employment numbers. But you know what they're going to be. I mean, they're going up. You know, you had yesterday we talked about the Institute of Supply Management's manufacturing. They beat expectations, but it's the first time there was any expansion since July. You had the U.S. factory orders for December. They kind of beat expectations today. But yet everybody's going to be waiting for the Friday's job report. But they all readjust these numbers. They all revise them. And it's, and it's all being pumped up to keep this market and everything else flowing and make everybody happy. Are you happy, Butch?
Oh, I'm so happy. I really can't hardly stand it, I tell you what.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Well, as things continue, you can look at it, and it can be very depressing. I mean, I'm only a man. I mean, I know my pastor, and I know where my faith lies. I know that I read the last chapter, we finally win this thing. I know that. But in the process, I've seen this total chaos all around us. It does become frustrating. It does. I can't say it really scares me to the point that I'm, you know, it immobilized me, but it does concern me because I live here. I have grandchildren who live in this country. And the insanity is all around them also. And the problem is their heads aren't mature enough to be able to handle this. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, it could get really nasty for them in the future. So I really don't know what to say except our nation is in chaos. It's literally in chaos. People can say what they want to. We're divided. We're fighting among ourselves. Can't even hold a caucus without everything being screwed up. We're in chaos. The president walked away from impeachment, obviously. The Democrats are crying, and I understand they're already working on another impeachment coming up in the future. That's just a speculation somebody that read today. So I really don't know. But I just know it's been continual chaos most of my life in this country, and in the last 3.5 years of Trump in office, it's been real chaos. Whether it's intentional or just a show makes no difference. It's still chaotic beyond belief. Constant, you know, bickering and fighting back and forth.
It truly is. We're divided. And it is. But people aren't going to argue the fact that it doesn't seem to matter and doesn't disturb doesn't disturb Wall Street. And
no,
you wonder why. Then you wonder why they don't want President Trump back in there. What's going to happen if he doesn't get elected?
What's going to happen? Yeah, exactly. If he does or doesn't, there's going to be trouble. You know that. The deplorables will be upset if he's not. You remember the deplorables, and the liberals.
I'm one of them.
You're one of them, and the other side will be upset if he is. So there's not going to be any peace in this country. We are no longer Americans as a group that we call Americans. We're no longer of a nationality where we identify as Americans. Now we're Black Americans, White Americans, Hispanic Americans, Native Americans. We're no longer Americans. We no longer homogenize together as people that have a common goal and a common idea for a decent society. We don't have that. It's lost. It's gone. It never come back. We tried to build a multicultural society, and no nation in history has ever survived the idea of a multicultural society because it leads to conflict and eventually war. And we're seeing it happen in America. I don't like it, but it's just the way it is.
You know, I'm going to go back to how the Chinese Central Bank continues to inject billions and billions of dollars through the open market operations. They're going to continue. They did a 1.1 trillion yuan a day earlier, and they're just going to keep pumping in these, you know, seven, just like the U.S.
Yeah, the U.S. just injected.
You know, and all that money just floods right into the stock market.
Sure.
You know?
Yep. The U.S. just injected another $94.5 billion into the repo market.
Yeah.
How many trillions that make so far now?
Who knows? Who knows? But they do it on a daily basis, and it was only supposed to last 2 weeks. Now it's going into April, and I'll guarantee you they're going to extend it, because once you get hooked on that drug, you're not going to quit on your own.
That started in September, right? Is that right, or October?
Started in the middle of September.
Okay, that's what I thought.
It was supposed to stop in 2 weeks.
So it's been 6 months almost. 5 months. Yeah. 5 months. But I mean, I guess I understand this. The bank, they give it to the banks overnight. The banks pay it back the next day, right? That's supposed to be the idea.
Well, yeah, and they've been extending the length of those loans too.
Yes. So where's the money coming from?
Well, the Federal Reserve pumps it, prints it.
So what we're saying is there's no money being created.
It's digits.
It's digits.
Like everything else, it's digits.
There's nothing really there. It looks like something on paper.
And the only way you could do that is because we have a fiat currency.
That's exactly right.
If we had gold, they couldn't do that. Couldn't be
nothing,
done.
Nothing of real value changes hands here.
Just a promise.
Credit. That's what we're down to.
Just a promise.
Oh. A fine mess that we're in here, I tell you that.
But you know, it's kind of. Well, anyway, let's just move on.
You know, but I got to say this and move on. But you've been doing this how many years now on the radio?
Well, I've actually been on the radio since 2004, but we've had the program since 1995.
So you've just been on 2 years shorter than me, and I've been on it forever. Mm-hmm. You've
yes.
been trying to tell people this. You and Jim both a long time and trying to tell people this and warn people about this for a long time. And gold and silver back in 1995, silver was probably about $3 an ounce, $3-something an ounce, and gold was probably what? How much was gold back in? 100? I'm guessing. I don't know off the top of my head.
Oh, no. In the mid-90s, it was, you know, 400, 500.
Okay.
Until we got up to the, you know, dot-com bust and everything, that, and then it dropped to 250. Was it low?
So now, again, it's picking on 1,600, and it's pretty steady there right now, and has been for the last couple of weeks. So you've been telling people this for a long time. We've watched go from 8,000 to 29,000, and nothing has really changed in the economy that I can see, except numbers in the market. I don't see the economy really blooming like it should be with that kind of a market. I know car dealerships are slowing down. I've talked to some people working in car dealerships. It is slowing down for them also. I mean, they got all kinds of cars sitting in their lots. I mean, I'm talking about huge inventories. But they're not moving cars like they were. So, I don't know. I mean, if the market's 30,000 almost, why is everybody not walking around with money in their pocket?
Not everybody's in the stock market.
I guess.
You know who? What we have in the stock market is retirement accounts, pension plans. Baby boomers, their retirement savings, and they get their little dividends, and they're living off their dividends, and they've been happy. It always works for some, but then eventually you get used to that standard of living that's been provided for you. And that's what they want, too. They want you to get comfortable with that standard of living. Because then when it's taken away from you, you know, when they take it away from you, then you'll do whatever they want you to do in hopes that you'll get it back. And that's how it works.
The answer,
you think they're going to give you this stuff for nothing?
Absolutely right. This is more control. And usually when there's a downturn in the economy, they declare a war to build it. That's been a fact for ever since we've been a country. We'll discuss some in after the break about Ron Paul's article is the draft coming back, because I think it's a good possibility it could be. I don't like that fact, but I think it's going to come back.
And I've also heard lots and lots of people who said if they did the draft, there's no way my kids are going to war. So it'll be interesting to see how parents react as they try to keep their children. And but we can't stay out of this break, ladies and gentlemen. We have to go to it. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for our newsletter. And this week, ladies and gentlemen, I really have to apologize. I'm late in getting it out, and it's all my fault. And not, you know, rarely are things my fault, but it's coming to you, I promise, later today. So, but go in there, and it's always out Mondays. So, sign up, dgscoins.com. All right, Butch.
I would like to, I mentioned about downturn in war. I would like to read a couple paragraphs out of this article by Ron Paul, because I thought it was pretty telling, and I don't. No one knows about the draft when it'll be coming back with her, but I think it probably will, because they can't keep these wars going on volunteerism. I mean, they can't. But anyway, during recent increased U.S.-Iran confrontation, so many people viewed the Selective Service website to find out about the draft that the website crashed. People were right to be concerned about the return of the draft. With the ongoing military conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan unlikely to end anytime soon, and the possibility of the U.S. being neocon into war with Iran and possibly even Russia or China, the demand for troops is likely to rise. At the same time, soldiers return home with their lifelong medical problems, including psychological problems, causing a horrifying number of veterans to commit suicide. All this can make it more difficult for military to attract recruits. And it can leave a Congress unwilling to pursue non-intervention with a choice: increased spending on troops, pay and benefits, or bring back the draft. A Congress facing over $25 trillion debt may reinstate the draft instead of further increasing spending on troops. Any further draft will probably include women, thanks to judges, politicians, and feminists who think women should have the opportunity to be forced to join the military. Oh, my God. Anyway, I'm getting into that. But I think he's got a valid point here, Melody, because nobody's volunteering. They're not keeping up numbers, and that's a fact. Research it for yourself. It's a fact. They're not keeping up with the recruitment that they need to keep the Army going the way it is. So the draft may be an answer. That's Ron Paul said. They can't afford to give them a pay raise and more benefits or anything else. I went to the VA doctor yesterday for a six-month checkup. Go every 6 months, and by the grace of God, I had to report again yesterday. But they took one of the doctors out of the office. Where I go see the doctor. One doctor had moved him. This one doctor now is overloaded. Dr. Harris is seeing more patients and can't keep up. They've had to take one of the receptionists, who's also an RN or LPN, not sure which, back in the back of the room to take care of patients and do the labs. And so the one receptionist left in the office. She can't keep up the phone calls, and there's no relief in sight. So I don't know if they're running low on money or what's going on here, but if they can't afford to keep the doctor staffed, how are they going to increase benefits and pay, Melody?
You know, the thing... Can you hear me, Butch?
I can hear you, yes.
All right. Well, in good economies, I mean, people lots of times will join the service because there's no jobs for them. They can't find a job, so they go there for education, for other things, and when you have a good economy and there's plentiful jobs and so forth, they don't have to volunteer to go into the service. You know, it's, I agree. I think there's going to be, they're going to have to do something, because if we do go to war, they're going to have to, they will have to supply the, I don't know what you want to call it, the troops or whatever. They will need to do the draft. And so, yeah, I expect to see them do more. And it's going to be harder because when we get into a real war, it's a little bit different to have parents there's going to be a lot of fighting. Parents are going to want their kids to join in. And it'll be much like it was back in the Vietnam days, you know, when it came to the draft.
Yeah.
Some people believe that. And you know, what's really good, I think there's an argument to be had that all young men, I'm going to get in trouble for this one, Butch, all young men should enlist, should be a requirement. Whether it's to perhaps, you know, but then again, it's all conditioning.
It is. That's the problem. It is.
It's all conditioning.
Being a
Vietnam, that's the problem.
Veteran,
I mean, if it was something, if it was something to allow, I don't know how. What's the problem? I've had this conversation with people before. To create a sense of patriotism that's lacking in our schools and everything else today, a sense of a commitment to our country. Maybe that's a far-fetched idea. I don't know. It's not my idea. It's just a conversation that I've had with people. And it's, I don't know. It's,
well,
I don't believe.
I know from first, from, go ahead. I'm sorry, Mel. Go ahead.
No, finish. Go ahead and finish.
I can, from personal experience, and I can tell you personal experience, I was in the military, 67 to 71. I spent time overseas, and I don't mind saying later now, it's no longer a secret, but I worked with the CIA, literally. I was with one of the branches in communications with the CIA. And we were stationed in different places. I was in Crete, Greece, and different. Then went to Thailand, Cameron Bay, Phuket, and a little bit of time in Laos on communication basis. But nonetheless, knowing what I know now about the Vietnam War.
Oh, yeah.
And after I grew up, and remember what I saw while I was there, I realize now those boys, they weren't men yet. I guess most of them were 19, 20, 21 years old. I was 20 years old. Didn't have any idea what they were doing. They were just told to go, and they went. I mean, they think they should have went because they felt a sense of patriotism that we got to serve a country. But when I found out what it was all about, I became angry. And I, righteously so. I don't apologize for that. I don't blame those who didn't go then. I don't, because once, if they saw the truth after I did when I got out, then I can understand it. It's bothered me for so long. I'm 71 years old now. I got out in 1971. That's been a long time ago. I've never made it up to the Vietnam Wall yet in Washington, D.C., although I want to, and I don't want to. I cry when I think about it. I get angry when I think about it. I don't know how to react when I got there, so I haven't went. Some people say, well, you need to go to get that out of your system. Some say, well, maybe you shouldn't go. Maybe make it worse. And it doesn't take long to get me in tears when I think about the friends. I had friends who died over there. One guy named Bill Hammack, very nice fella, and ended up dating one of the girls I was dating in high school. Nice guy. I mean, big dude, but just as friendly as he could be. Didn't make it back. Another guy we called Turtle in high school because he was so caught, big, slow and everything. Didn't come back. And others I know didn't come back. And they died for nothing. Never had a chance to live. So it does bother me. I don't like the idea of a draft simply because it takes away a young individual's ability to further his life to fight a war that may or may not be just. And that's what we have to decide. A war of defense, a war of self-defense is justified, but a war in a foreign nation to further their cause or our cause is not justified.
I agree with you 100%. I agree with you, and that's the sad thing about today. Is most of our wars are not justified. We don't need to be there.
No, they're not.
We don't need to send our boys and men in there and our women. And things have just really been, I don't even know the right word to describe how things have just been so turned around so misguided. And, you know, I remember talking to someone. He used to get very upset, you know, when we celebrate the veterans, and the veterans never know what they're really fighting for. They really don't know.
When they find the truth out even about World War II, we found out that World War II was planned.
Planned.
It's all planned. My dad, excuse me. Mm-hmm. My dad was a wounded prisoner of war in World War II. When he found out what really happened, it broke his heart.
Yeah.
Made him angry. It bothered him. All the ribbons I have, and my family said, make a shadow box. I did. On my front wall, I have a shadow box of the sergeant stripes, the ribbons, the medal, the medals. I had a couple medals, nothing outstanding, just a couple medals I earned. It's hanging on the wall in there. And it was up to me, I probably just throw it in the trash can. But they won it, so I got it. So I understand how Dad felt. And once he found out that they'd been snooking into a war that they had no business in, that we didn't want to be in the first place until after Pearl Harbor was instigated, then I understand how all the people that understand what I'm saying know what I feel. And it does hurt me to see, it bothers me. And I'm saying this on the air. When someone says thank you for your service, it bothers me. Now, I'm going to say this right up front. I wasn't there to serve them. I was there because I was told to be there. Just that simple. I thank a waitress in a restaurant for the service. I wasn't in there to serve them. I was there because that's what I thought was the right thing to do. I wasn't there. That was where I was. No, I was doing it because I was told to be there. So people get mad about that. That's just too bad. I'm allowed to say this because I'm a veteran and I can say it honestly and straightforwardly. I'm just telling you like it is. And I'm a diabetic because of Agent Orange. It fried my pancreas. And I'm on insulin 3 times a day because of that and a couple pills. So I have nothing really to brag about going to Vietnam and Thailand and all the place. I saw nothing gained out of that. Now, I'm going to shut up on that before I get carried away here. But useless people's lives. I don't care whether you were killed in a Germany in a foxhole or killed in a foxhole in Vietnam, you're still dead. It makes no difference where you're killed because you're dead. And if you can't see the justification for the war that you're involved in, it makes you feel like you played for a sucker. Now I'll be quiet.
No, I want to thank you for sharing that. I have a question for you. Is why are so many, how come so many don't see?
Well, it's called blind patriotism. And I don't hate my country. People say, you love America. No, that's not the point. I don't hate the country. I hate what she's become. It's like a man who marries a fine young virgin lady, and she turns into a whore. You love what you used to be, but you don't like what she is now. And that's nothing wrong with that. I don't hate my country. Like the man wouldn't maybe hate his wife. He just was just broken hearted because of what happened to her. But when you see men being killed still today and maimed, and treated like nothing when they get home by the public, and I'm part of that group that was kind of ignored. No one talks about the Vietnam War. No one, even my own family doesn't ask you, Dad, what was it like? What did you do? Now, my dad was World War II. They think that was a wonderful war, but no one asks a Vietnam veteran about how they feel. What did you do, Dad? What was the reason? I mean, no one asked that to Vietnam vet. At least not in my experience, they haven't. It's all about World War II and the greatest generation. Why is the World War II generation any greater than my generation? When you die, you die.
True.
You only have one life to give, as Patrick Henry said. Or not, Nathan Hale said. So I don't care whether you give in Germany or in Vietnam. You only have one life. So I get angry when I hear people saying, well, the greatest generation. No. Ask Bill Hammack if you ever get to see him in Time of Eternity about the greatest generation. He's just as dead as somebody else was in World War II. That's just the way it is.
But you know what?
You got me started, didn't you?
Well, I guess there's blind patriotism even when we come back to what we're experiencing now in these elections and in the division of this country. Part of it is somehow, to some degree, blind patriotism on both sides.
Well, my dad, before he passed away, died in 2016, almost 92 years old. He and I were talking one day. He said, I didn't go in the Germany and places to die for two homosexuals to get married and protect their constitutional right to get married and adopt children or to see unborn babies murdered. So I didn't fight for that. I didn't go there for that reason. I didn't either. We didn't fight for what America is today. We didn't. No one would have, I don't think, knew about it. But it breaks your heart to see it happen.
What you didn't know is you were fighting. They brought you to war to create the country that we live in today.
That's exactly right. We were pawns in a chess game or a checkerboard game. That's all we were. And folks, I don't make anybody angry, but we're chattel. They consider us property. And that is a natural fact. And that's prophesied in Nehemiah chapter 9. Read it for yourself. Because of sin of the people, they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle, over our land. We own nothing. We don't even own ourselves any longer. And that is just the way it is. We've been labeled, numbered, and stamped with the stamp of approval by the state to have a license to drive, a license to get married, a license to do business. Everything has to be stamped and licensed to be legal in America. Not freedom, not liberty, license.
And I'm going back to the blind patriotism. We see that again as we're divided with the Republicans and the Democrats. You have they're so blind that they've taken sides without even knowing. You know, we talked about, you and I talked about on break, the halftime. It was pornography.
It's pornography. I didn't watch the game, but you're right.
And I know someone asked me, and they're a liberal. And they asked me, well, what'd you think of halftime? And I knew they were setting me up because they knew what my response would be. It was disgusting. It was disgusting. Oh, well, J-Lo is 50 years old and blah, 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 blah. It was an exciting. No, it wasn't. If I want to see somebody climb a pole, I'll go to the corner,
grab the crotch.
Strip joint.
Yeah, grab the crotch.
Yeah, I'll go to the corner strip joint. It doesn't need to be in something that is supposed to where, children across this country are watching.
Around the world.
Around the world. You're right. So how can people say it was the strongest performance the Super Halftime Bowl ever had?
That was a satanic worship service is what it was, folks. Satanic worship service.
We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today.
today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Well, I guess we have to talk about the elephant in the room, about the caucus last night. But you want to go there?
I want to cover one more thing real quick. It's economic news I thought was interesting. When Google parent company Alphabet said on Monday that revenue of the company soared past $161 billion last year, it was a stark reminder of the widening gap between the tech's wealthiest outfits and the rest of the industry. And there's little reason to believe that this will change. Said in the last 2 weeks, Microsoft, Apple, and Amazon, like Alphabet, all flirting with $1 trillion stock value on Wall Street, posted record results. The final member of the tech's Big Five, Facebook, which is a little more than halfway to $1 trillion valuation, also reported strong earnings. Melody, do you know we're talking about $1 trillion profits in a year? Mm-hmm. Wow. Where's the trickle down?
No. It's trickling, but it ain't money.
I mean, really, I have no problem. Companies make profits. I know. I'm not. I'm all for profits. I truly am. But for that to, that's huge. That's huge. But changing topics. Chaos in Iowa. Thousands of furious supporters claim Iowa caucus rigged against Bernie. Now, I'm not going to go through all this. I don't have time to get all this on this the last segment. But as it turns out, tech snafus and human error weren't solely to blame for last night's caucus catastrophe. A columnist for the Iowa Gazette reported that new rules introduced for this year's caucus, plus a lack of clarity on the rules of the historic ritual, apparently prompted some local precinct supervisors to make illegal decisions about supporters of non-viable candidates joining together. But anyway, and then said Iowa actually something. This is. I wish this wasn't even true. In a case of a tie during Monday night's caucus, the state is resorting to an old-fashioned coin flip to decide which candidates will win delegates. But they're tossing a coin to see who wins the delegates. And Biden is so upset, he said he was threatening a lawsuit if Iowa releases his caucus results. That's one night on the first caucus from the Democratic nominees. One caucus and it goes everything from rigging up against Bernie to lawsuits by Biden. Wow, what's going to happen in New Jersey?
What's going to happen in New Hampshire?
New Hampshire, right. New Hampshire. Isn't that amazing? We have one caucus and already there's claims of rigging elections.
I don't know what's going on here. I really don't. You could stir up, 100 conspiracy theories out of this.
Oh, they will. They will.
And to me, it's just another sign of incompetence in this country anymore. The arrogance. I mean, you can't tell me that knowing that I'm sorry, these things, who was in charge of this? Who is going to be held accountable? What was really the true problem? Who is going, instead of the Republicans rejoicing and using this as the dumb Democrats, I would like to see them take charge and say, we're going to get to the bottom of it and find out exactly what went on. You know, they blame it on an app? Are you kidding me? Wouldn't you have tested it?
How are we going to know? How are we going to know who won, really? How are you going to know who won? Who's going to decide
now?
That?
How are you going to know? Oh, well, we can count them. That's more legit. Really, now? After the fact? I mean, they're a bunch of boobs.
It's no wonder the world's laughing in America. Just like it did Israel. When Israel forgot God, they become a laughing stock of the world. Gazing stock, the Bible says. That's what America's become also. Just a laughing stock of the world. We're falling apart internally, and our enemies love it that way, Melody.
I mean, we're supposed to be so far advanced in technology. It seems like to me, ladies and gentlemen, the only advancements they have in technology is your stupid cell phones.
And that may come to an end, by the way. You know that. Because of the coronavirus, their iPhones having trouble getting parts. I'm not saying to come to an end. I won't destroy it. But I'm saying that because of the situation, though, of the
coronavirus. Sure, there'll be
inventories. Yeah, the inventory is down. Even Honda and Kia factories in South Korea are running out of parts for their cars because of this. So in that sense, I guess it is affecting a lot of people. I can't imagine a person having an iPhone couldn't get a part for it to go nuts.
Well, I don't know what really happened in Iowa last night, but I'll tell you what, there's the rat in the house somewhere. Because you just... I just can't believe that you would be so incompetent for something that's so important. And I don't know if this was designed to, because we've known that they want to change the electoral process. I don't know if this is, you know, part of that deal. I don't know if it's, I mean, again, you could... But I just can't believe. I mean, it's kind of reminds me when they rolled out Obamacare, right? They spend billions of dollars. Supposedly, you could go online and sign up and get your free health care. Didn't work that way, did it? The whole system crashed. And it kind of reminds me of the same thing. And I can't remember who was part of this designer. I think it was somehow, I don't know, to the... Clinton, I think there was some sort of tie there, some sort of connection there, or something that I saw But if it ain't broke, you don't fix it. You just, so they had a system. Why would they fix it, Butch? Why would they come in with a new app?
I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, it's supposed to make
competent
sense.
Competent boobs, huh?
Is it supposed to make sense?
No, it's. It's hard to believe they're that incompetent, but I know they are. It's just like anything else. You know, they get in there, they get this big bucks to do all this stuff. You have millions and millions and millions of dollars, and you have the corruption, and it's just, I don't know.
Well, if it ain't broke, they'll fix it. So don't worry.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
they will fix it, I'm saying. So anyway. Good point. Now, the New Hampshire is... When's that primary?
I don't know the date on that. It's
close, but I don't know when it is either. I'm just curious to see if it goes any better in New Hampshire. Probably will. At least I would think it would.
Well, supposedly February 11th is the primary.
Well,
Nevada said they're scrapping it. So I don't know if... You know, February's... I mean, if... New Hampshire is going to be any bit better.
Nevada is scrapping the primary?
No, the same app that...
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All right. Gotcha.
Supposedly.
Okay. Well, time will tell. But last night, there was a debacle. No doubt about it. Unbelievable. Now, this may be some good news. Would you believe it's a town in South Carolina... That's growing so fast they had to pass a ban on growth. Would you believe that?
Yeah.
Lake Wylie, South Carolina, said this lakefront suburb of Charlotte, North Carolina, is among the Sun Belt's strongest magnets for young families. Since 2000, Lake Wylie has tripled in population 12,000 on the strength of its good schools, low taxes, and proximity to Charlotte's jobs in the financial and technology sectors. But those schools are filling up, the water system frequently fails under increased demand, and 20-mile commutes are stretching to 90 minutes. Now, the town that grew too fast wants to stop growth. In December, the York County Council, which is led by Republicans, put a 16-month moratorium on commercial and residential rezoning requests in consideration of any new apartment complexes or subdivisions. It is the most comprehensive ban so far in a state where fast-growing cities are temporarily blocking everything from dollar stores to student housing, the Municipal Association of South Carolina said. Wow, I think it's the first I've ever heard that. A town actually banning growth. Ever heard that before?
But you know, no, I haven't. But more towns should do it. And I was having this conversation with somebody just a couple of weeks ago. You know, you have all these little towns that build, but they don't think about the infrastructure. They don't plan on the roads. They don't plan on this. And then the next thing you know, you have all kinds of issues and everything like that. And then it's always after the fact. But they just destroy little towns. They have. I lived in Prescott, Arizona. It was a beautiful, quaint, country, western town. Then all of a sudden, they exploded. They ran an advertisement that it was the best little place to retire in, or the best little vacation place. And then all of a sudden, you had everybody and their brother coming, and it just kept growing. They put in big malls, and you know, it blocked everybody's beautiful view of the deserts and the cactus. And I mean, and now it's, I can't even imagine what it would be like now. So, yeah. So I can see how towns would have to put on, you know, something to slow down the growth.
And that is, I mean, 90 minutes to travel 20 miles, that is quite a traffic jam. But I want to try to get this last little article in here for enough time, because I think it's important.
All right, hurry.
Creator of U.S. Bioweapons Act says carnivorous is biological warfare weapon. An explosive interview, Dr. Franco Boyle, who drafted the Biological Weapons Act, has given a detailed statement admitting that 2019 Wuhan coronavirus is an offensive biological weapon, warfare weapon, that the World Health Organization already knows about it. Francis Boyle was a professor of international law at the University of Illinois College of Law. He drafted the U.S. domestic implementing legislation for the Biological Weapons Convention, known as the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989, that was approved unanimously by both houses of the U.S. Congress and signed into law by President George H.W. Bush. An exclusive interview given to Geopolitics and Empire, Dr. Boyle discusses the coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan, China, and the Biosafety Level 4 laboratory, from which he believes infectious disease escaped. He believes the virus is potentially lethal and an offensive biological warfare weapon, or dual-use bio-warfare weapons against genetically modified with gain-of-function properties, which is why the Chinese government originally tried to cover it up and is now taking drastic measures to contain it. The Wuhan BSL-4 lab is also a specifically designed World Health Organization research lab, and Dr. Boyle contends that the WHO knows full well what is occurring. Dr. Boyle also touched upon great Game China exclusive report, the coronavirus bioweapon, where he reported in detail Chinese biofare agents working at the Canadian lab in Winnipeg were involved in smuggling of coronavirus to Wuhan's lab, where it is believed to have been leaked. That's quite a statement. It wasn't, you know, maybe it's an accident, but it was not developed as an accident.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing. So I don't know, but to read that article and to know that it was invented as a bioweapon, and I would say this guy has some credibility, since he's the one that introduced this, you know, the protection from these things. That is something to think about. And as you stated, you know, cities have been shut down in China. They built, I think, 3 hospitals now in a matter of 8 days. A hospital in 8 days, Melody, that's got to be some kind of record. Police, I mean, really.
Well, you know, maybe they're using the, remember those ghost cities that China built? All those cities with little buildings, maybe they're, you know, turning them into hospitals or something like that. Because how in the heck can you build a, I mean, I guess you can do a girl, you know, I don't know.
Well, you do know that they have technology now that they actually print a building. Now, you think I'm nuts, but I'm serious. They can lay a concrete building a layer at a time by printing it. So I don't know if this is part of it or not. I have no idea.
Oh.
So I don't know. But one more thing I'll say. Bankers, and this is in England, by the way. Bankers busted for stealing cafeteria food. bike parts after bonus cuts Rock Wall Street. So, Rock Wall Street, they got the words backward. But anyway, they're still in food on cafeteria because they were cut 20% of the bonuses. So, I guess European bankers are starving.
I guess they are.
I don't know. I just like to share that.
It's not trickling down. It's not trickling down over there either.
Oh, gracious. We're about out of time. I'll let you wrap it up if you want to.
And if I don't?
Well, if you don't, I'll keep going. I got more here.
No, we got about a little less than a minute. I just wanted to... it was a good show today. We went off topic a little bit and so forth, but I appreciate Butch you sharing your experience and everything in your service, and thanks.
Well, you're more than welcome.
Macy's going to close 125 stores, so that's just a little something added. And yesterday we talked about the middle class can't pay their rent. So 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call for all your gold and silver coin needs. And we are out of time right now. Thanks, Butch. And we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe. Good night. And God
bye-bye.
Bless. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.